nice crowd here tonight. So today we transition from the season of Epiphany, which is a season of light and revelation, to Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of Lent. I won't say that Lent is a dark time, but it is a solemn time. It is a time of self-reflection and drawing closer to God. The season of Lent, we reflect on our lives. We consider those things that have drawn us away from God, and we repent. And we go deeper in our relationship with God in a number of different ways. Shortly, you'll be invited to come forward, and one of us will put some very sooty ashes in the shape of a cross on your forehead. And as we do that, we will say the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." You may hear that as, "Remember, you are nothing, and to nothing you shall return." Or maybe, "Remember, you are of the earth, and to the earth you shall return." Or, "Remember, you are of God, and to God you shall return." Regardless of how you hear those words, they are a stark reminder of our mortality. All living things on this earth will die. We will die. And we don't really like to think about it or to talk about it, but it is a universal truth. And it is our ultimate vulnerability, our soft underbelly. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. When I was had made the decision to go to seminary, a good friend of mine who'd known me most of my life said, "I think you're going to seminary because you're afraid of death." It didn't ring true for me at the time, but as I reflect back, there is some truth to that. I don't think I went to seminary because I was afraid of death, but I certainly explored my faith. Right? So it played into that. And it made me think about this recurring nightmare that I had throughout my life. I don't remember how early it started, but I was pretty young. Have you ever had one of those dreams where you're sleeping and you think you've woken up, but you're really still sleeping, right? And you try to wake up and you can't? Is that familiar with this? I'm nodding. Some heads nodding. It's a little scary. So I would have this dream, and I would open my eyes in the dream, and there would be this figure shrouded in black standing at the foot. I'll try to talk loud over the sirens. Standing at the foot of my bed. And I instinctively knew that I was in danger, and that if I didn't get up right then, I would die. And so I try to start waking up, but when you're in one of those dreams, you really can't. You kind of struggle to wake up. And I would start to panic in the dream. I had been known on occasion to actually leap out of bed in my sleep. It scares my husband to death. At any rate, I would eventually wake up. I would open my eyes. The figure would be gone, but my heart would be going a mile a minute. And I'd have to take some deep breaths and just really ground myself so that I could go back to sleep. A few months ago, I had a dream. Again, I thought I woke up. I opened my eyes. I looked up, and there was a black, shrouded figure, very ephemeral, floating by the ceiling. And it suddenly whooshed past me, and I felt breeze on my cheeks, and it felt like a feminine energy. She whooshed right out the window in the bathroom. And I was left with these words: "You are going to die." I knew somehow she didn't mean that was going to die tonight and maybe not next week, maybe not for 20 or 30 years, but I am going to die. And somehow that anxiety and that fear that I carried with me from that other dream must have gone whooshing out the window with her because I was at peace. From dust you come, and to dust you shall return. And so we enter into the Lenten season with this reminder of our vulnerability as mortal beings, right? Which speaks, for me, speaks to our need to find a deeper connection with God, with the sacred. The 40 days of Lent and some Sundays mirror Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. If you remember, after John baptizes Jesus in the river, a spirit comes and leads him to the wilderness with nothing but the clothes on his back, probably a pair of sandals. But he didn't have food. He didn't bring a tent or a sleeping bag. He was completely unprepared. A little distracting, sorry. Completely unprepared for this time. But he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He didn't eat for 40 days. Think about that. Put yourself there for a minute. Imagine yourself completely alone and starving. We have to remember that Jesus was fully human. He had all the emotions and the feelings and the physical and mental, all of it that we have. And so I imagine that he, well, they tell us he was starving, but I also imagine that he was pretty lonely. Jesus was a very social guy. He constantly had his people around him. And I imagine that he was also a little bit afraid, not really knowing where this was taking him. And then when he is at his absolute weakest moment, his most vulnerable point, Satan shows up to test and tempt Jesus, firing these challenges at him. If you're the Son of God, turn those rocks into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself from the highest peak. And then this temptation, if you will vow your loyalty to me, you can have it all. Jesus fought that intense spiritual battle. It left him physically, emotionally, and spiritually wrung out. And during Lent, we try to embody Jesus' experience. I don't know, we do things like give up chocolate, maybe alcohol. I don't know. Somehow, I think, are we trying to just feel a modicum of the suffering that Jesus felt? Is that our point? Because if it is, I think we're missing something. Jesus didn't suffer for the sake of suffering. But being stripped of all physical comfort and being placed in that state of extreme vulnerability, Jesus found strength in God, deepening his connection and commitment to God. That's how he survived. Lent speaks to me not of suffering, but of vulnerability, connection, and intimacy. Letting go of defenses, barriers, facades, acknowledging our brokenness and our limitations, allowing people to see us for who we are. Our vulnerability reminds us that we can't make it through this life on our own. And it allows us, maybe forces us, to open ourselves to a deeper connection with one another and with God. And with God. Vulnerability opens us to receive God's grace and love, and in turn, share that with the world. But it isn't easy. And we each have our own defenses, shields that we hold on to, and armors that we wear to keep ourselves safe. And I'll be honest with you. Preaching for me is very personal. When I stand up here and talk to you, I feel like I'm sharing a little piece of myself with you. And it's vulnerable. If you're a writer or an artist or a performer, you know what I'm talking about. You're giving this piece of yourself. And so, I feel vulnerable. And every Sunday that I preach, or Wednesday, I stand behind this podium because it makes me feel a little bit safer, a little less vulnerable. I can put some notes here. I can hang on to it if I need to. And it creates this sort of shield, this barrier between me and you. You feel a little bit further away. And I feel safer and yet a bit distanced from you. Nothing to hold on to, but I'm still standing. Every Sunday, there are things. There's a lot of things that we do to protect ourselves, right? That's just one. That's just a symbol of how we protect ourselves. But I want to talk for a minute about another thing in this moment that comes to me is that every Sunday, my clergy colleagues and I and the choir wear these funny white robes. And I know that there are people out here today who are like, what's with those robes, really? Right? I understand. For me, the robes allow us to sort of separate ourselves, step away from our individuality, help to humble us so that when we go up there, it's not about us. It is about this beautiful, ancient ritual and God. But it does put a little distance between us. It feels a little bit like an armor that I've put on. But I'll be honest with you, I like wearing this robe. I like wearing this robe because, like the podium, it gives me a little sense of security, a little safety, a little distance. And when I put it on, it's like a uniform. I am thrust into my liturgical role, and I am the priest. I am now in that space, right? It's helpful. But I also recognize that it separates me from you. So here I stand, just Mary, with my soft underbelly and my brokenness and my vulnerability. Still here? Vulnerability is a really, it's become a buzzword, it's really overused, but it's a good word. It's an important word. Vulnerability means that we have exposed ourselves, we are open. We are softened, a little bit tender, probably a little bit raw. We reveal our less than perfect selves to the world, our brokenness. And it is through our vulnerability, by opening ourselves up, that we make room for the divine, that we create space for God's love and grace and mercy to enter our hearts, that we are able to connect more deeply with the sacred and the holy. In his sermon last Sunday, if you were here, Travis talked about mountaintop moments. And he shared with us that throughout his life, he pushed harder and reached higher in order to draw closer to God. And then he said he came to understand that a life of faith is lived more often in the valley. If you open your heart, you can feel God's love and God's presence in the absolutely ordinary. And we feel that presence, I feel that presence, most profoundly in the love that we give to one another. That's why I don't want to cover this up, right? But you know, it's easy to go through life turning away from God, right? We foolishly think that we can get through this life on our own. I'm okay. Aren't you okay? Right? The truth is that we all find ways to protect our hearts all the time. But when we do, we risk shutting ourselves off from the sacred. And it's not until we allow ourselves to truly open and acknowledge our brokenness that we can authentically repent and return to God. Turn towards God. And then we get it. We finally get it. God's love has been with us and within us all along, pulsing through our veins. We just couldn't see it. We couldn't feel it beyond our own. We couldn't see and feel beyond our own barriers, right? Sometimes that realization comes with suffering. And sometimes that realization comes with mountaintop moments. And sometimes it just comes with an awakening, an awareness that we really can't do this on our own. And we put down our shields and strip off our armors and just let go. Jesus' wilderness experience stripped him bare, cracked him open, and allowed him to forge this deep commitment and connection with God. He discovered that his strength was in his vulnerability. So my question tonight for each of you in this Lenten season is, what shields are you holding in front of yourselves? What armors are you wearing? What podiums or white robes are you holding on to? And are you able and willing to just lay those down, even for a short while? Sure, give up chocolate, give up alcohol, or take on a new prayer practice, or commit to reading the scripture. Whatever it takes to help you to move out of that place and step into a place of vulnerability, to own, to recognize those things that keep you apart from one another and from God. And maybe if you're not ready to lay them down yet, maybe you can just hold them with softer hands. I'm going to leave you with a prayer. Most loving God, in the quiet of Lent, may we each find the courage to loosen our grip, to let go and turn towards you, to open our hearts, and to trust that even in our most vulnerable moments, you are with us. We are held in your embrace. We are loved, and we are.